was Psalm 23. As I began studying this week, I found myself saying, wow, wow. And today we're just doing verse 1. And as I prepared the lesson, I thought, boy, oh boy, we could easily do a 4-week series just on verse 1. Verse 1 is so rich. And there's so much material about verse 1 that I've come across in my study, and I thought, man, oh man, we really could study a long time on just verse 1. But let's go ahead and start. I'd like to read the entire psalm, if you don't mind. We're just going to look at verse 1 today, but let's read the whole thing, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray and we'll jump into that. Lord, we thank You for this time to open Your Word, Your precious Word. And Father, I pray that You'll help us now to grasp some teaching from this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we'll thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know that verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I believe that verse kind of sets the tone for the rest of the passage. In other words, David, he could switch that around and say, you know what, I do not want because the Lord is my shepherd. And he could go on and say, I mean, just think about it. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. David begins to list all these things. He's with me. I don't have to fear evil. Thou art with me. He prepares a table for me in the wilderness. And on and on, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So why should I want, or what could I want? The Lord is my shepherd. And so I think that verse 1 really sets the tone for the rest of the chapter there. As we come to Psalm 23, boy oh boy, there's no more beautiful piece of literature than the 23rd Psalm. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. And that little phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, has comforted many a troubled hearts for nearly 2,000 years, or maybe more than 2,000 years. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to ask you this morning, is He your shepherd? And there's a couple of ways we could look at that. First of all, we need to be born again, don't we? We need to be born again so that the Lord can be our shepherd. But once we're saved, we still can ask the question, is He my shepherd? Is He your shepherd? And we'll come back to that in a little bit later in the lesson, but let me move on here. Over 1,000 times, I believe this is one of your things on your notes there, over 1,000 times in the Bible, we come across the words sheep, shepherd, or lamb. Interesting. Now, being a sheep is nothing really to brag about, because sheep are, they're defenseless. Pardon the expression, they're dumb. They need a lot of help. They're very dependent. They need a lot of help. So to think of myself as a sheep, I begin to wonder, I'd rather be an eagle or maybe a lion or something like that. But you know what? In saying that, I must say this. It is a blessing being the Lord's sheep. And that's, I think, it's a little bit different than being a sheep out in the pasture. But being the Lord's sheep is a real blessing. And let me have you turn to Isaiah 53 real quick. Hold your place there. We'll go together there, Isaiah 53. I want you to notice that, no, the Lord doesn't compare us to a lion or a gorilla or anything. He calls us sheep. But Isaiah 53, we'll begin in verse number 3. It's a familiar passage. It says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, And with His stripes we are healed. And here's what I want you to see. Those are very familiar verses about the suffering of Christ. But in verse 6 it says, all we are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his what? Own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Lord, there's one passage, there's others, but the Lord compares us to sheep. And we are the sheep of His pasture, we're in His fold, and it's a wonderful thing being the Lord's sheep. The problem is that according to that verse, we've all, capital A, capital L, capital L, we've all gone astray. And we all tend to think that our way is the best way or the right way. And a pastor kind of touched on this, I think it was Wednesday night in the Bible study. He took us to Proverbs 14:12, which says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, you know, as human beings, we're prone to think, I've got it all figured out. I've got a better way. I know how to do it. I can get this done. And if it's not, if the Lord's not in it, if it's not His way, if it's not the Bible way, what is the end of that? Death. It's going to crumble and fail in some cases, literal death. But I want you to see how the shepherd cares for us as his sheep. Let's go now to Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15 is a parable. It's one parable in three parts. It tells three little stories. But I just want us to see the one. Luke 15, beginning in verse 3. And I want you to think about what the Bible is saying here. This, again, is a familiar passage. You've read it many times, I'm sure. Luke 15:3, it says, and he spake, Jesus speaking, of course, he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose, how many? One of them. Watch what he does. Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. So here's a shepherd, he has 100 sheep. One of them gets lost in the wilderness. That shepherd will leave the 99 in the fold, in the wilderness. But at least they're in the fold there. And he'll go and do everything necessary to find that one sheep. Guess what? You are that one sheep. I am that one sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ does everything in His power to get that one sheep. All around in our community, there are those one sheep out there. And the Lord is doing everything possible to go after those one sheep. He puts our church here, for instance. And we have Christians in this church that take the gospel out. Remember a few weeks ago, we had our 3.5K day. That was wonderful. And we were out there getting the word out. What is that? That's the Lord doing what's possible or what He can for us to get the gospel out because He's searching to bring in those lost sheep. But thank God that we were that lost sheep, each of us individually, and He did everything He could to get us and to bring us into His fold. Well, let's go ahead and get into the lesson now. That's all kind of background. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're going to look at a two-part outline. Of course, the verse is in two parts. So it's pretty obvious how we're going to break that down. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to turn now with me. Hold your place there, but go with me to Mark chapter 6. I think it says it in your notes here, perhaps. Mark chapter 6. I love this story. Mark chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 30 through 34. Mark 6, beginning in verse 30. The Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. Sounds like they're pretty busy. Even Jesus needed some rest. He said, look, we've been so busy these last few days preaching and helping people, and we haven't even had time to eat. He said, so let's get away, let's get apart and have some downtime, so to speak. But the people learned that they were going, and so they came anyway. Many people came and followed them, even though they were trying to get away for some R&R. But verse 34, get this now. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Read that last part with me. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Isn't that a beautiful verse? The Lord Jesus himself, I think of what Brother Robbie Morrison was saying to us about the harvest. And he kept pointing over this direction here. He said, there's the harvest. You know, he was telling when Jesus said the harvest is truly ready, but the laborers are few. And he kept pointing to them. I'm not talking about real farming, Jesus was trying to say. I'm talking about that harvest. And Brother Robbie kept pointing us, you know, imaginary horizon there with people coming up and over. That's the harvest. Well, when Jesus himself views that harvest, when he sees the people, his heart is moved with compassion. And the problem in this particular instance here, when in this verse, is that Jesus saw the people, he realized they need a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. They're as sheep with no shepherd. And that leads us to our first thing there. It might be on your nose. Let me look at your one. Yeah, people need a shepherd. People need a shepherd. Don't you need a shepherd this morning? We need a shepherd. Why? Because we're sheep. Well, what's that got to do with it? Sheep are helpless, defenseless. They're dependent. We as Christians ought to be dependent on our shepherd. You know, if you put yourself in the hooves of a sheep, if they could think these kind of things, the sheep would say, boy, my shepherd takes good care of me. And David kind of voiced that, and he was kind of talking from the sheep's perspective, wasn't he? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's my shepherd. Boy, he leads me to green pasture. Isn't that what a shepherd should do? He should make sure that the sheep are fed. They're in a good, safe place. He provides for them. He makes sure they're safe. Takes care of all their needs. All they got to do is just keep munching away on the grass. The Lord takes care of them. And so, but you know what? We need that. We need to become more dependent on the Savior. And we'll come to that in a minute. But let me move on here. I want us to see three things about the Lord is my shepherd. And I found it interesting that Psalm 22 and our 23 we're looking at today, and Psalm 24 kind of makes up a little trilogy. All three of them kind of get us to look at the shepherd in three different ways. And of course, we're focusing on 23. But I will just give you a little view into 22 and 24 on either side of that as we look at these three points on your outline there. Number one is this. The good shepherd, capital G, of course, the good shepherd delivers me from the penalty of sin. Amen. The good shepherd delivers me from the penalty of sin. And then it should say next, in Psalms 22, the good shepherd went to the cross to bleed and die for us. So the good shepherd, he's the good shepherd that paid the penalty for us. He's the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. We're the sheep. Turn with me to John chapter 10, another beautiful passage. John chapter 10. And verse 10, John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Look at verse 11. I am the what? Good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so that's our first point there. And if you go to Psalm 22, we won't take time this morning, but it is known as the picture of the crucifixion in there, and the Lord laying down his life for the sheep. And so we can see the good shepherd if we were to look at Psalm 22. Thank God that the shepherd died so that we, the sheep, could have eternal life. Amen. Number two, or in that letter B, I should say, the great shepherd, again, capital G, the great shepherd delivers me from the power of sin. And then it goes on to say in Psalms 23, it's where we are now, the great shepherd has risen from the dead and provides for all our needs. And isn't that what David was saying? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My needs are taken care of. He leads me to a green pasture, water. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear evil because there is evil out there. Are sheep subject to evil? You bet. Wolves and lions and, you know, well, it's no lions in Israel, I don't guess. But typically speaking, for us anyway, roaring lion. So David says, you know what? He takes care of my needs. But in Psalms 23, he's risen from the dead, provides for all of our need. Not only did the great shepherd die for our sins, but the penalty of sin, he helps us and delivers us from the power of sin. Now I want you to see another verse here. Go to Hebrews 13. And we're just scratching the surface. What we're looking at today, there's so much more. And like I said, I think we could probably go about four weeks just on verse 1 here. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, here it is, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, now watch this verse. Make you perfect. That means whole. It means mature, doesn't it? Make you perfect in every good will or good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And when I say the great shepherd delivers me from the power of sin, what I'm saying is what Hebrews is telling us here. He works in me every good work to make me perfect and to do His will. And then it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I can come to the place in my... I don't mean that I'll never sin. That's not right. We will still sin, but I don't have to be the slave of sin any longer. That sounds familiar. Someone, I think, in missions conference touched on that teaching. So you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore because the great shepherd delivers us from the power of sin. And then letter C there, the chief shepherd, capital C, the chief shepherd delivers me from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. You'll see this in Psalm 24. On your notes, it should say this is a future event. When our chief shepherd, the King of Glory, comes again and delivers us from the very presence of sin. And Psalm 24 talks about, in the closing verses there, maybe a little earlier too, it talks about the Lord entering His kingdom. And it talks about the sovereignty of God and so on. So you'll see that if we were to look at Psalm 24, we would see the great shepherd who will one day deliver us from the presence of sin. That's a future event. Too bad we can't get that a little sooner. But it's a future event. One day, there will be no more sin. Can you imagine that? Not only will I not sin anymore, and you won't sin anymore, but there won't be any sin around us either. You know, you and I, we do our best, or at least I should hope we do our best to try to keep sin at a minimum. But unfortunately, we have to go out into a world that's just full of sin. And can you imagine what it would be if the presence of the Holy Spirit wasn't here? It'd be really crazy. And that's going to happen one day when God's people are taken out of here in the rapture. There'll be no Holy Spirit here to dampen sin. It'll just rage wild. We think it does now, but can you imagine what it'll be like without the Holy Spirit? Wow. But one day, thank God, our chief shepherd will deliver us from the very presence of sin. And we'll be in a place where there's no sin. That'll be great. Well, let's get to the second part of our verse here. That was all about the Lord is my shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. But I want to get to the next part of the verse now, and I'm excited about this. David said, you know, I've alluded to it already and made mention of it and threw some things in there, but I want to park on it now for the next few minutes as we close our lesson. David went on to say, not only is the Lord my shepherd, he said, I shall not want. And I find that we can easily say, the Lord is my shepherd. In contrast, I think we find it more difficult to say, I shall not want. And you may agree with me on that. It's easy to say, oh, the Lord's my shepherd. It's not so easy to say, I shall not want. Why? Because I live in a world that teaches and preaches, have it your way, and look out for number one and get all you can all you get. And just, you know, just never enough, continually grabbing for more, and wow. So it is tough. It's tough to say, I shall not want. The truth is that if we truly knew the Lord as our shepherd, then we must grow to the point where we can say with confidence, I shall not want. The life of a shepherd is to supply every need that the sheep could have. A sheep should be and can be confident of pasture, portion, provision, and protection. That's what David basically said, looking, you know, he was kind of talking as a sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he went on to say, you know what? He, and I'll use these P's again, he gives me pasture, he gives me portion, provision, and protection. That's what the Lord does for me. As my, he's my shepherd, I'm his sheep. And I can confidently say, because of that, what could I want? He gives me everything I need. He takes me to the green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. And he protects me from the evil prey that wants to eat me. And he does all those things for me. I shall not want. Get this. Want is the insatiable character of mankind, unfortunately. Want is the insatiable. That means that the word insatiable means it cannot be satisfied. It's the insatiable character of mankind. Life seems to consist of the hungering and thirsting of physical, intellectual, social, and emotional cravings. Now, pardon my flashback to my unsaved 1970s days. The Rolling Stones used to sing, I can't get no satisfaction. And unfortunately, that's really the anthem of the world, isn't it? I can't get no satisfaction. I just can't get enough. Whatever it is, whether it be drugs, liquor, sex, you name it, I can't get enough. I can't get no satisfaction. And that seems to be the mantra of the world. But David said, I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Man, that's sweet. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I can say I shall not want. No, it's difficult. It's difficult because the world is always dangling its trinkets in front of us. And sometimes I find myself, I want that and I want that. Boy, I'd like to have that. And we all do that. And in some cases it's not bad. But you know what? The Lord is saying to us, I'm your shepherd. And if you'll just depend on me, because sheep are dependent, we should allow ourselves to grow in the Christian life to the point where we truly can say, the Lord meets all my needs. And He provides for me. He keeps me safe. And I truly don't have to want. Want is the insatiable character of mankind. Wow. Let me say something further about that. The fear of want is one of the most disturbing themes of the human soul. Because men and women everywhere fear that they might miss out on something that they would deem necessary for their very survival. That's vital to their interests. Isn't that true of Eve in the garden when the devil came to her and basically said, God's holding out on you, Eve. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to have that tree because then he'll know you'll be just like him. And Eve fell for that. And what did it become? It became a want. It became a want for many things. Want for the forbidden fruit, want for the knowledge that it brought, want for the power that she could have received to be like God. And so, what a way to start the human race with this already, this thing of want and can't get no satisfaction. But you know what? Listen to this. Godliness expels this fear from the human heart by inspiring unbounded confidence in the bountifulness of heaven and the confidence and comfort of a shepherd. Now, I think I said it different on your sheet. I think that you should say, let's see. Oh, no, you got it okay. Yeah, want is the insatiable character of mankind. Oh, it must be countered with contentment. Must be countered with contentment. Isn't that true? If we could just learn to be content. The psalmist said, I shall not want. Why is that? Because the Lord was his shepherd. I want to show you a couple other references here that I found sweet. Deuteronomy chapter 2. If you'll go with me, please. We'll look at 3 here real quick. Well, we'll look at 2. I'll quote the last one because it's so familiar. You'll know it right away. But Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse number 7. And I marked this. I really like this, the last phrase anyway. Verse 7 says, For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. What's it say next? Thou hast lacked nothing. Thou hast lacked nothing. Now you say, well, Lord, I do need a new whatever. Or I wish I had I'd really like a, you know, we can do that all day. But we have to, in the Lord's perspective, you haven't lacked anything. And what does the Bible promise us? Food, clothing, shelter. I know that sounds so basic. But from God's perspective, he told Moses here, he said, look, you've lacked nothing. Look at, just turn a couple pages there, chapter 8, we'll see it again. There's something similar. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And verse number 9. Well, verse 7 kind of leads into what he's talking about. The Lord brought thee into a good land, a good land of brooks and water and so on. Then verse 9 he says, A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. So there he says again, thou shalt not lack anything. Why is that? Because the Lord is what? My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If we truly know the shepherd as we should know him, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, then we should say with confidence, I shall not want. And boy, I hope that's a place that you and I can grow to. Amen? Will it ever happen? I hope we can get better at it. We're unfortunately bound to this earth, and there's a lot of things around us that's grabbing for our attention, and all the commercials on TV and on the billboards and in the magazines say, you need this. You need to buy this one. This one's better. This is the greatest and latest, and on it goes, and we're bombarded with that. So, and some's not wrong to have. I mean, I'll be the first to say when a new smartphone comes out, I like to look at it and maybe entertain the thought of getting one. So, but you know what I mean. And the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Let's go to this last application here. And we're just about out of time. What can we take away from this? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm telling you, we just scratched the surface. Boy, there's a lot of teaching in those two phrases. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I want to give you a couple of things that are some takeaways. Number one, don't be a lost sheep. Make sure that the Lord is your shepherd. Won't take time to turn to it, I'll just read it to you. John 10:9 says, I am the door, Jesus speaking. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and I like this, and find pasture. Amen. So don't be a lost sheep. I would assume, knowing who I see this morning, the best I know, the best I can tell, you're saved. If you're not, you're in a good place to get that corrected. Amen. But don't be a lost sheep. Make sure that you're in the fold by having salvation. So that's what that one's about. Number two, stay close to the shepherd. Don't go astray. sheep that wander off often become, any guesses on the what's going to go in? Okay, that's good. Lunch. Lunch. Sheep that wander off often become lunch. And we won't turn to this either because it's a familiar passage, but 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, your adversary, what? As a roaring lion. He's out there. And he likes to eat sheep. And if you wander away from the fold, and you get too far away from the Lord, you just might find yourself becoming lunch. So don't do that. Number three, learn to put your confidence in and to get your comfort from the great shepherd of your soul. So it's confidence in and comfort from. Why do I say that? Well, we already talked about confidence. Being able to put our confidence in the Lord, He is my shepherd. And being able to confidently say, I shall not want. But why did I put that comfort part in there? Because you know what? We live in a land, again, we live in a land where everything's about comfort. Whether it's heat or air conditioning, that's necessary. But you know what? We're guilty sometimes, and I am, comfort eating. Comfort, whatever it is, this for comfort, that for comfort. I want to comfort myself. I'm feeling a bit depressed today, so I need some comfort, whatever. Whether it's comfort food or a comfort, I don't know, what else. Why do I use food? Because that's my one. You know, if I'm feeling a little bit down, whatever, I need a cookie or a cake. I need some comfort food. But you know what? I remember my wife was battling cancer, and she confessed to me. She said, I'm guilty of going to comfort food. I'm guilty of leaning on food for my comfort. And I remember when she got down on her knees in our home there in Indiana and gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to look at food anymore as my comfort. I want to look at my comfort from you. And it was after that that the whole cancer battle thing began to turn. And that's another story. I don't have time to tell you that, but that was wonderful. And so I want us to keep that in mind. We don't need comfort from anything in this world. Get your comfort from God. Number four, and lastly, contentment. This is a great statement. I think Brother Howell said it, or at least he got it from someone. Contentment is not having what you want, but rather wanting what you have. Remember Brother Howell saying, he would tell his children, kids, you see that, and I don't remember what it was, you see that 1957 Chevy out there? Back in the day, that wasn't so wonderful as we think it is today, but that was just the car. You see that 1962 Chrysler, or whatever it was? He goes, that's the best car in town. And, you know, he'd brag to the kids, we got the coolest car, and it wasn't the coolest car. It was beat up, maybe. But he was trying to teach the children, what we have is what we want. And that brings contentment. So let me conclude with these two statements. Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Or could you say, I shall not want? Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd.